Episode
4.
I'm Carl.
And this is Kenji.
And we're with Bikes and Brews with Red Monkey Sports. Right. We're going to start off with some beer.
Let's do it.
We're going to talk off some. For this time, Kenji's going to be bummed out.
I'm taking a back seat this time.
Because we're going to talk about real beer this time. None of that grass stuff. This is called the Partridge in a Pear Tree, Belgian style.
Style.
I did say style.
It's not the German.
We're already going.
It's not the German beer. It's a Belgian beer.
It's a Belgian beer.
Style.
Does that sound like a Belgian accent?
I don't know what you.
I don't know what a Belgian accent sounds like. Where are we going with this one? Quadruple ale, brewed with spices. This one is a hot diggity dog, 11.3.
We going
by
die.
Volume.
We going
this is gonna put us a friend. Oh hey, look, we got a tool for opening this bad guy, and it's by Wolf Tooth.
Nice.
I like that. They know
every,
what it's all about.
Every good garage.
Shameless plug right here.
Needs a bottle.
This over. Thing will open this beer faster than you can imagine. Okay. 11.3. Okay,
brewery's local, right? They're a local.
They're near Fullerton.
And
Placentia? Yeah. Thank
well,
you.
We're all wrong.
Totally. I haven't been there in a while. I used to go to the brewery a little bit. I used to live in that area.
Oh, fast you opening that.
Yeah. Okay. Record speed with the Wolf Tooth.
If you notice, this is a semi-tulip glass, which these are supposed to be poured on.
Yeah.
And the reason is because you wouldn't want to normally have a big guy of one of these, because these are 11.3%.
I tell you, the weight
this
of this
is a sipping beer.
Glass.
We're going to have to cheers.
It's heavy.
Yes. Yes.
Cheers. Okay,
cheers. Oh, that was plastic.
Sorry, budget.
Budget, huh? Hmm. Oh, yeah. What do you got there? Shop dogs attacking me again? Peanut, why are you looking? I'm making eye contact right now.
Peanut, let's make eye contact. Look at Peanut. There we go.
Okay.
She'll figure it out.
Anyways, that's nice, huh?
Yeah, it's good. It's
I taste like a malty, but there's something else going on there besides alcohol.
Mm. You're slow.
You're supposed to sip this. You just drank like the equivalent of a pint, I think.
I'm used to dude broing my IPAs.
Guy,
dude, bro.
Okay, so for me, I give it a thumbs up. I give this an 8 out of 10. That's Carl's public review of this beer right now.
Okay, I'll go the 6. Quadruples are not my style.
But this is good.
Yeah, it's good. It is. It is tasty. It's complicated.
All right, we could go with dessert. Mm-hmm. It's got an edge to it. I like it.
If you throw some ice cream in it.
Okay. Bam. I like it.
Let's get techie, dude.
Okay, this time we're getting tech.
Let's get nerdy.
Carl is getting tech.
Yeah, this is
the
where
opposite.
Carl takes over on the nerd. The
I
nerd
do
out.
Get nerdy.
Straight
I'm going to talk out of my butt. I know what I'm talking about. But I might not know the technical terms a lot, but because I know what I like. Mm-hmm. So first thing we got to talk about is the intended use.
Yes.
When we're talking about mountain bike tires, to help you narrow it down, you need to know what you're going to use it for, because there's a big difference.
Yeah. Which genre of mountain biking are we talking about?
Right.
Not all mountain bikes are the same, right? You could be doing cross country, which is your racing.
Go as fast as you can.
Fast as you can, uphill, downhill.
Pedaling wise. Yeah.
Yeah. You want a light
Least
bike.
Least resistance.
Yeah. Light bike, no rolling resistance or as little as possible. Which is going to be, so as you're going from cross country over to the more downhill.
More aggressive, more downhill
oriented.
More resistance.
Correct. More grip.
More grip, more resistance. Weight. There's always a compromise to be made when you're dealing with tires. There's no way to get around it. Something that rolls fast and moves fast and pedals fast usually offers less grip. So that's why it gets really nerdy.
You can just see the comparison between this Maxxis Assegai. Assegai? Assegai? Assegai?
You got me there.
I don't know.
Did you say ass guy?
No. I don't know what you're talking about. That's the beer talking. Okay. Versus this Kenda Booster, which has these super fast,
That's
tiny...
the tire I use for cross country. I like that tire.
I love this. This is a rear tire for me.
It is a rear tire for
rear
me,
tire.
I used to use it on the front, but now they have some different offerings like this guy.
Yeah, so good.
So good. Okay, that's a little wide, but okay, we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, but that's got good side knots. It's really predictable. Sometimes the grip's really important because not only do you grip, but how it transitions grip from sidewall to mid rows of tread, and when it starts to break loose, how predictable, all that kind of stuff is. So you got dual compounds because now that we're mentioning the rolling resistance and all that, you want to have your stiffer, less rolling resistance, slightly less grippy in the center.
Right.
And the side knobs, when you start to lay it over, you're giving it the shock.
Get sick with it.
Get sick. You're getting sector nined out. You can throw on the dual compound, kicking in the soft, grippy stuff, and that's where these guys kick in. See how pliable those things are?
Yeah, super soft, super gummy.
Yeah,
very grippy.
Yes. Yeah. So and so we're gonna get into the knobs now too, because that has to work in conjunction with the compound.
Correct.
So if you have one, these will be pliable.
Right.
So if you notice, all tires tend to have a directional pattern. And when you brake, you want the sharp edge there, so that's going to grab.
Right.
But where you're pedaling, you're going to see a ramp edge on the knob.
Right. So,
this is your pedaling edge, this is your braking edge, and then you have a flat spot on top.
Right. Yeah. Okay? So you can see that clearly on this. There's a ramp here on the forward side, and then that's your braking.
Right, right.
So it catches the trail.
And rear tires tend to, and this isn't true for all tires, but they tend to be in patterns this way, where front tires tend to be in patterns this way.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, because when you're cornering, you want that grip to be this way. When you're in the rear, it's braking and acceleration to be this way. Does that make sense?
Because generally, you don't care about your rear end breaking loose.
Okay. So the next thing you need to know is durability. So when you start getting into heavier duty, like when you're transitioning from cross country to trail to more enduro style tires, you're gonna start riding some crazier stuff, some sharper edge rocks, some bigger drops. You need to have that support.
Yep.
You know, downhill tires, they're gonna be a lot more support, a lot more heavy duty construction.
Yeah, the casing. Now you're talking about kind of the sidewall protection.
But that comes at a price too. You're always compromising.
Yep, more weight.
More weight.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So downhill tires are not fun to pedal.
So, I mean, if we were just kind of make this super basic.
That's the opposite of a downhill tire.
This is your cross-country tire, tiny knobs, super fast rolling, probably a harder compound too in general, so it doesn't grip and hang onto the trail as much. And then, you know, contrast the size of these knobs with something like this. This is clearly more of a trail/enduro rated tire.
Mm-hmm.
You can also see that from the width too, right? So this is a skinnier tire.
Yep, again, that's like a 2.2.
Less rubber on the ground means less rolling resistance.
To a certain point, we're not gonna get too nerdy about that part of it.
Right.
But in general, a cross country rear, I like to run about a 2.2. Front, like a 2.4, but you go a little wider in the back.
Yeah, so my hardtail, I'm kind of running a down country hardtail at the risk of using that.
I know you hate that term, but
I run a 2.4 regolith on the front, which is a pretty aggressive setup for.
I like that setup though.
2.4 regolith.
It's a new
on
tire
front,
for the most part.
And a 2.4 booster on the rear, and it rolls super quick. It's great. It's a great combo.
I don't mind wagging the tail a little bit because if your front tire can go through it and your back end kind of waggles, long as it doesn't blow out, it's going to keep following you. You know what I mean? So I tend to ride the front a lot more. If I wag a little bit, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, you probably feel like if it gets a little uneasy back there, I don't like that feeling.
I'm going to die.
Yeah, I don't mind if I'm like, if there's a rut and it falls in the back, as long as the front's locked in and it's going where I want it to go, your back's going to follow you eventually. So anyways, we're getting a little bit tangent, but anyways.
Yeah.
So tire pressure also is huge.
It is.
I mean, everybody runs them a different. Well, if you're going to do something really big and you're going to end up completely going through all of it, I run about 23, 24 in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in Southern California, so you got to remember it's mostly loose over hard pack or rock, you know, that loose kind of shale thunders and that kind of stuff. And then the front, I'm running about 20 usually.
I'll usually run about 20, 21 in the front. And 23, 24 on my hardtail, but on my trail bike, I'm doing like 22, 21.
Okay, yeah. That works too.
Pretty squishy.
Yeah,
Yeah. But I'm not railing the turns like you are, so I'm not risking blowing a bead.
Yeah, you know what, at a certain point, too, I mean, we're not going to go off on too much, but I'll bring it up, and we'll talk about it at a different time. That starts leading us into tubes and cush core insert kind of stuff. And then, and it also affects the width, is the width of the rim. Mm-hmm. You got to take that into consideration. Assuming that most of the time, these days, modern days, I mean, everybody's running kind of tubeless these days.
Yeah, most everybody's running tubeless. So the width of the rim is an interesting one, right?
Yeah, because it's pulling
it wider. The skinnier the rim, the more of a balloon shape you're going to get on the tire.
And it's going to do this, and it's going to pull it in.
And then if you get a wider rim, you kind of have the sidewall straight up and down, and that's a lot better for grip and support.
And from what I understand these days, tire companies are designing tires about it with the intent of like a 30 mil width.
Yeah, it's much
rim.
More common.
Yeah, so anyways. So we need to wrap this up. I mean, we got great stuff from Schwalbe. Maxxis is always a big, big game player. Kenda,
make an eye contact.
I don't know what to do with that one either. Okay. Oh, let me fill you up again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're going. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. That's good. Right. But we'll get into inserts, sealant, and all that stuff at a different time. So right now we're talking about tires, mountain bike tires specifically.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's a wrap.
I think, just to summarize, just when you look at a tire, look at the tread, and then as it gets more and more aggressive, match that to the style of riding.
And really read, everybody's got these little icons and everything like EXO and all that stuff. Do your own homework. That's a slippery slope. It's a deep pull, but we won't get into it, but it all makes sense.
Yeah.
All right?
All right.
All right. What comes before part B?
Part A.
So with that said, we'll see you guys next time.
Send it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Nerd.